Hi, welcome to the Movies You Forgot You Forgot podcast. With me, your host, Adam Richmond. And joining me as ever is my co-host, Mr. Joe Devine.
Well, not as ever, Adam, because I'm in your grill. I'm up in your face.
Yeah, I'm staring at your face. We're on holiday together.
Yeah.
It's a special time and it's a special episode. The specifics of how this came to be...
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't even think about it.
We were on holes.
We'd rather you didn't think about
it. We've got access to Disney.
We've got access to holidays.
Sure, I bought some DVDs along.
Yeah.
You didn't want to watch the scary ones.
Well, you watched it on your own in the dark.
The scary ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just felt in the mood for one late evening, two evenings ago. I just wanted to... I'm away from my family. I've left my family.
You've left them?
Yeah, I left them.
What, for good?
No, just for, yeah, I mean, for good, for my good, but then I'll go back.
Okay, thank God. I was worried for a minute I was part of your not escape.
This is not, I'm trapped.
Yeah.
I'm just trapped somewhere else.
Okay.
With a toddler.
With a different sort of wife, yeah.
The last two nights have involved dreams involving you.
Yeah.
Getting on my tits.
Yeah.
I feel that they're stress dreams.
Yeah. We should say for overseas listeners that the phrase getting on my tits means getting on my nerves.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not clambering on your torso.
No.
No.
I
wouldn't do that.
So what do we watch together? We don't spend that much time. Last time you made me come around your flat and we watched all the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, you didn't like that.
I enjoyed the experience.
Right.
But so here, we're enjoying ourselves. We're making TikToks.
Yeah.
We're coming up with podcast strategy.
Yeah.
And I bought some DVDs and I'm thinking, if I put on a DVD and Joe doesn't like it, I'm going to be so sad.
It's going to hurt you.
It's going to be overwhelmingly sad.
If you wanted to be hurt, you would have stayed at home with your wife.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there was a little window. It was quite late. We'd already watched a flick. What had we watched?
Atonement.
Oh, God. Right. Yeah. So I was in a post-atonement mood. It was 10 o'clock and I just thought, I wish I was dead.
Yeah.
And then I thought, instead of being dead, I could bang on Avengers Infinity War.
Which is the penultimate Avengers.
And I just thought, I haven't seen this in ages. I just want some fun.
Of course.
And you were at the point where I thought, well, Joe's going to bed.
Yeah.
It's super dark out. The telly isn't huge, but it's big enough.
It was pretty dark in.
Dark in, dark out.
Yeah.
I banged it on and you hung about. And you watched it as well. You played Civilization.
That's right.
In the backdrop.
I used it as a backdrop to my video gaming. But as the film went on, I was drawn in. I was drawn in by those plucky characters of the Marvel Universe there. And I thought, oh, what's going to happen to that one with the wings? Or what's going to happen to this one with the eye in his head?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I was curious about what was going to happen to the one with the eye in his head. I found out.
There's a lot of fun bits in that. It's really, I kept looking at you going, this is good, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
This is near 20 films worth of... building up to this big old story that they've been teasing.
And I was dominating the world with the gall, but I was looking back at you and saying, yeah, this is good. This is good, mate.
So next night, we watched the other podcast movie. Again, bit of a downer.
Bit of a downer. Captain Fantastic.
So of course we're going to watch Endgame.
Yeah.
If you've watched Infinity War, I think you have to watch. You're going to want to watch.
Which is not the penultimate, it's the ultimate Avenger movie.
You'd like to think it's the full stop. It's not, because they kept on going.
Yeah.
So that's what we've done. And you started taking a list whilst you were watching Endgame.
I took some notes because I thought, what better way to accompany and partner the watching of a film like Avengers Endgame than to incessantly write things down on my phone about it while it's happening, you know?
It wasn't just that you'd started saying, oh, that's good, that's a good bit.
Uh-huh.
And then it was 20 minutes into the film, something a little bit like,
not
I wouldn't
good.
Say bad, not so good.
Well, it's on the bad list on my phone.
Yeah, so, right. And then you go, well, that's going on the bad list. Hang on a sec, I know. I'm going to start making a good things about Endgame and some bad things.
Like I'm the Santa of the Marvel Universe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you go back, you go, what did I say was good? I helped you remember. And then you were just scribbling away throughout the end of the movie.
Sure.
Making notes and enjoying the movie.
I was enjoying it. And let me tell you, Adam, Hawkeye is getting a big old lump of coal in his stocking. So more of that later.
Well, should we just kick into...
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to take you through a list of things that are good and bad about the film, in my opinion. And then we're just going to treat it as an open canvas to discuss.
I'm really glad that you said in your opinion, because I was worried that you were going to tell me things that weren't in your opinion.
If I wasn't in the room with you, I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So that was a needle.
It wasn't a needle. It was it was for my own sense of security. Yeah.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host. And Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
I think you care about these movies, Adam. Not insofar as you're deeply invested in the story. I don't think you are hugely emotionally attached to Cap or any of the other superheroes in the franchise. But I think that you don't take kindly to broad sweeping criticism of the Marvel universe from people that you don't respect, you know? So that's why I say you don't necessarily care about the films as for the story, but you care about them as films, that they exist. And when people come around, come knocking and say, these films are all Marvel films are shit or whatever, you got no time for that.
Yeah, but if you're specific about the ones you do and don't like, I've got all the time in the world.
Yeah. Well, that's really what I'm going to do.
Yeah, great. But I'm not protective of any of the movies. No. If someone said to me, oh, I think Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness is the best one, I'd think, wow, you've got horrible taste.
Sure.
But if they really insisted they preferred that to Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings.
The Ten Rings?
The Ten Rings.
Right. What are the Ten Rings?
The Ten Rings. Well, they're kind of like a Tang is a kind of metal.
Right.
And he's got four of them.
Who has? Doctor Strange.
Shang-Chi.
Oh, Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi. Played by Simu Liu.
Right.
He popped up in Barbie.
Right.
Very good guy. Fun guy.
Haven't seen
him. That should have been one of the Marbles that they did a sequel to.
Right.
But they haven't yet.
Right.
Super fun. So, you know, I know what I think are the best and what the order are. There's probably about maybe half of the first 20 that are good, and the other half are middling to shit.
Right.
That's what I think.
That's what you think.
But come for them, but come specific.
I'm gonna come specific.
Come specific.
Okay, here we go. And I'm gonna start with
the we're just doing it. We're just doing Endgame.
I'm gonna throw a little bit of Infinity in there for the a lot of the good points relate to could be applied to both films. Let me start with a good thing. Okay? A big broad sweeping good thing. This is the first thing I wrote down on my list. This is about Endgame, but it could also apply to Infinity War. As far as big blockbuster box office movies go, the cinematic event of the year, commercially speaking, they are breaking all of the rules, these films, and I find that very interesting. Okay, that what you couldn't say about them is that they are just standard basic summer box office movies that are the opium of the masses and are based on nonsensical comic book characters that nobody likes after the age of 13. You can't say that.
No.
Okay. Because even if the second half of that could be true in someone's opinion, the first half of it very much isn't. They are not standard box office films. They're very, very unusual in terms of structure. So, for example...
What can I say? You said it was maybe 10 minutes into Endgame, and you said, oh, not much has happened.
Yeah.
And I did feel it instantly defensive, and I thought, right. I was like, no, that's a good thing. And then you went, yeah, no, that's a good thing, Adam.
That's why I'm saying it. I wrote it down. I said, it's an action movie, right, broadly speaking, that has no action at the beginning of the film. There isn't any action for the first, I don't know, what, 20 minutes at least?
Endgame is setting up, resetting the table after the events of Infinity War.
Absolutely.
Where Thanos, I mean, we haven't talked about, we're skipping.
We haven't talked about anything.
We're skipping runtime.
Sure.
Thanos has clicked his fingers. He's wiped out half of all life,
yeah,
which includes, I think, butterflies.
Yeah.
Half of all butterflies.
Half of all living things.
Well, yeah, half.
So is it so
half of every
half
species
of plants are gone? A plant gone?
A plant's living?
Yes.
So half the plants.
But then microorganisms are
randomly though as well.
Right.
Randomly. He's not gone. It could be accidentally, like half of all roses, maybe.
Right.
And keep daffodils.
Right.
Because it's random.
Anyway, that happens at the end of Infinity War.
And then the beginning of...
And then the final film is contending with that. So, you know, something... It's not... I wouldn't say it's actually... It's not... It didn't make it onto either list. If there was a neutral list, it would be there. But it is funny that whilst half of all living things are gone, it just does largely happen, with the exception of Spider-Man, who I know you really like. It happens to be the shit half of the Avengers.
Oh, come on, let's talk about that.
Okay.
That's a fun bit.
So who disappears? So half of all living things are gone because Thanos has clicked his fingers. So that's all grass and that's all...
half grass. Just half.
Half of grass.
Half of grass.
Half of bees and half of ants and half of all human beings living on Earth. And, of course, also half of the Avengers. It's a little indiscriminate. So we find out the opening of Endgame is this very... very dark open where Hawkeye, who's played by Jeremy Renner, is in his garden and he's cooking up a storm, a barbecue, doing a little bit of archery training with his daughter. And he walks over to collect an arrow from the bullseye that his daughter's just shot. And he turns around and his entire family, his wife and two children, have dusted away. They've disappeared. So that wasn't half. It just in that context, but it is still half overall.
Well, yeah, but
he's unlucky.
Mate, that's rad. Those are odd. Those odds are bad.
Those are bad odds. Everyone, all of his immediate family dusts away because of Thanos.
Because of half. Okay, yeah. So here we go.
He doesn't.
Oh, no. Renner doesn't.
So who these superheroes, who dusts away?
Who do we get dusted? Now, I made you say Tosh or not Tosh to each one.
Let's play that game now.
Okay, is this a Tosh Marvel hero or a not Tosh?
Okay.
You know, because you want the film to say, hey, there are stakes here.
Yeah.
We're dusting some big guys.
Well, that's why they killed Spider-Man.
Right. Black Panther.
I've never seen the Black Panther film, but I understand that people like Black Panther, so I'll say not Tosh.
Yeah, that's a fairly big...
He's one of the big ones.
He's got his own movie.
He's got his own franchise, yeah.
Spider-Man, be very careful what you say.
Okay. Not Tosh. Not Tosh.
Agree.
Yeah.
Like, you might not like him, but this Spider-Man is a big one.
Spider-Man is a good superhero.
Yeah.
Tom Holland, I'm not that interested in.
Great, but to lose him from these flicks...
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Doctor Strange...
Oh, Tosh.
Really?
He's just boring.
He's really...
Also, he's the closest to Captain Marvel in that he can kind of do anything,
well, that's
everything.
Really, that's where they've dusted
right,
him.
Tosh.
Star-Lord, a.k.a. Christopher Pratt.
I mean...
You liked him.
I like to watch him. I find his character enjoyable. And for the record, I think the first Guardians of the Galaxy is my favourite of the Avengers films. Or of the Marvel films, sorry.
But politics accepted.
but as far as a superhero goes, he's Tosh. He isn't a superhero.
He hasn't got no powers. So, although he is actually, his dad is a god.
Yeah, but he doesn't have any of the skills.
Mm, he's sort of magic in some kinds of ways.
Yeah, charismatically magic.
Drax the Destroyer.
Oh, he's not Tosh. I like Drax.
He's very good.
They clean out the Guardians, don't they? The little raccoon is the sort of the equivalent of Hawkeye in the sense that he loses everyone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because he's the best Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm going to preempt you and say Groot is not Tosh.
Yeah, although Groot doesn't come up on this list.
Well, I guess he's not a superhero. He is a superhero.
He's a big one, but yeah. Mantis.
I don't know who that is. Tosh.
Yeah, she's sort of Tosh. Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier.
The most Tosh of all. The guy with long hair and a gun. Fucking hell.
He's important. The Cap.
Yep, I've never seen any of those films.
This is a fun one. Falcon, played by Anthony Mackie.
Oh, Tosh.
Such Tosh.
He's got wings.
Yeah, he's a bad one. Scarlet Witch.
Who is that? Not Scarlett Johansson? What are we saying?
Scarlet Witch is...
Elizabeth Olsen. Oh, Tosh. Boring. Well, I mean, again, she seems to be able to do anything. I'm unclear of the specificity of her powers. That's why I'm saying Tosh.
That's the problem of some of these. I'm jumping ahead, but like they're getting rid of people who are overpowered.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch, her powers are never fully defined. Captain Marvel, they really should be getting rid of. She's the Toshiest of the lot.
Right, yeah.
But they get rid of her by having her fly just off.
Right.
for the movie.
She's flown off.
Nick Fury.
Tosh.
And, oh, they say Maria Hill. She's she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Don't know who that is.
Irrelevant. She's definitely Tosh.
Groot didn't make it on, but Maria Hill did.
Yeah.
Come on, mate.
Come on, mate.
Is that
Christopher, Harold, Anthony, Tobias?
Yeah.
Peter. Just, that's his name.
Who?
ChatGPT.
Oh. Sorry, that was all of them. Those are the only ones that got
those
done.
Those are the big ones.
Those are the biggies.
Those are the big ones.
I mean, most of them are Tosh. Actually, it's about 50-50. 50-50.
Because, I mean, we keep Cheadle. Cheadle's hot toss. Cheadle's hot toss.
I like Don Cheadle, the actor.
Love him. He's good.
But what even is he? He's nothing. He's nothing.
He is nothing in these movies.
He's just a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
He's not even funny. It is on my bad list, actually.
Oh, jumping ahead.
I'm jumping ahead to my bad list now. When they're in the middle of the big mission, when they go back in time in Avengers Endgame, and they have to go back and locate each of the different special stones.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all pair off, don't they? And there's some fun pairs, Cap and Iron Man go together with Ant-Man. That's a fun pair. There's a lot of fun. There's a lot of heat happening there. What are the other pairs?
Well, you've got
Renner and ScarJo, and they have there's the emotional journey. There's a lot of fun star power there.
The Rabbit and Thor.
Rabbit and Thor. That's the funniest pairing. Love that pairing. Okay, and you get a little bit of Rousseau in there as well.
You do. It's a shame they don't quite. That bit isn't as fun as it should be. But yeah, they're certainly a fun pairing.
I like it.
And then who have we got left over on the board? Cheadle and Karen Gillan, the robot lady.
Oh, the robot, that's who they are.
And they go back to the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy to see Star-Lord, get his rock.
And it's important that's the, of those four different pathway stories happening, that is the most important one, because the result of their story there is that the Thanos in this other timeline discovers what's happening and is able to be reintroduced to the film, because otherwise there wouldn't be a villain. Thanos has already been killed towards the beginning of the film, right? So it's necessary for the story, but, you know, good Lord, popping Cheadle and Robot Lady together and expecting me to care about that is the only
they've got nothing between them. They don't know each other.
No chemistry, no history. They're just two kind of cast-offs, you know? One good thing about their little journey, though, on their history, when they go back to the beginning of the first Guardians of the Galaxy film, where they see Peter Quill, not Peter Quill, he's from Homeland, Quill... Just Quill.
Quill. Star-Lord.
Yes.
Christopher Pratt.
Christopher Pratt. They see him at the very beginning of the first Guardians of the Galaxy film. And you remember there's that great scene where there's the... Ding, 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 ding. Hey, what's the matter with the boy? And he's dancing around, he's kicking rats about, and he's on his way to pick up this Infinity
Stone. This is where you fall in love with the Marvel Universe.
That's where I really enjoyed it for the first time. It's a great scene. You hear that music, you see the dance, and then you cut to the side, and Don Cheadle and Robot Lady are just hiding behind a thing, watching this man dance and mutter to himself and sing. It's very funny. It's like walking into a silent disco, you know. I really enjoyed that element of it. But apart from that, it's a weak pairing and a bit of a boring, if necessary, story.
Both of Endgame and Infinity War begin as if you've watched all the other films.
Yes.
There is no count. They don't care. They don't care to catch you up.
That's what I mean about the rules that are broken.
Yeah, which is nice. And you're like, oh. And I can't kind of remember. I vaguely remember what I need to know for Infinity War. Who's what? Who's where?
Mm-hmm.
And but it's so entertaining. You kind of... It's good, but it's pretty... it's fun.
It's also rewatchable for that reason. I mean, this is the main thing that I am I really admire about these films is, as a starting point, big action movies with no action at the beginning, right? You can imagine, I'm going to be a Hollywood producer, an experienced Hollywood producer now, and I'm going to say, hey, guys, this is a big action movie. There's no action for the first 20 minutes, and all I'm getting is two fingers back from the Marvel people. And then I'm going to say, guys, this movie is like 5 hours long. It's too long for a mainstream audience to enjoy. two fingers back. They don't care about that at all, right? And then as the Hollywood exec, I'm going to say, guys, if I haven't seen another one of these films before, I have no ability to enjoy this film, right? So it's not, again, it's not good for a big, broad audience. All I get is two fingers back from the Marvel crew. And they make the most successful, commercially the most successful film ever made, breaking all of these big rules and strictures that previously Hollywood producers would have said, you can't do that. We know how to make a big, successful movie. They've just put two fingers up to all of it and made something that at least all of the fan base really, really, really enjoyed. I think that's extremely admirable. And those are the sorts of things that change the movie industry. Like, not only did they make great movies, they also changed things.
Yeah, I think creatively they're successful as well. And then, but all of those things that worked for those two, now they've got horribly wrong. So they moved into a lot of TV series, and then the movies that come out in between the TV series, you kind of have to have seen the TV series, or if you miss something, and then it starts to feel like, this is what people say, it starts to feel like homework. And I don't think that's the problem with the latter post-Endgame movies, are that they start to feel like homework. It's just that they're not particularly good.
They're just not as good.
Yeah. They haven't figured out what to do. They got overexcited by the idea of a multiverse, and then made everything around the multiverse, which just creatively didn't work for them. For the first 20 movies leading up to Thanos and the Stones, that's a fairly decent spine that they can dip in and out of. And like, is there going to be a stone in this movie? Maybe, maybe not. And we'll come back to it. Or like, there might be. And it's broadly, you could do sort of standalone, non-stone related, Marvel ones. But then after Endgame, once you're doing multiverse, everything came back to this alternate reality, different version kind of bollocks. And it started to be, the world is, there are so many options. There are so many characters. And then they've just driven down a lovely little spaghetti-filled cul-de-sac.
Well, you made a really interesting point when we were chatting about this yesterday as well. You said that one of the reasons the Avengers films are so good is because they are the final films of a 20-film story arc. And that perhaps, you know, I guess we could find out like how early along the way they were intending to do that or not. But some of that at least will have been by coincidence or by chance that that's the case, right? Whereas now that they've moved into a new chapter of it, they're immediately trying to get them all together again without that big build up, you know. So you're never gonna you don't give the audience the same amount of time to get to know all of the characters and to get to you don't leave them gagging for it, you know. You've just sort of stuck it in straight away.
But can I stop you there?
Yeah,
I'd love to play a new game that I've come up with.
You've come up with a game.
I came up with this game.
I thought that was my thing.
No, I know, but I feel like
I'm
the
games guy.
You are the games guy. But I don't think like people connect with me or like me.
Oh,
listenership wise,
right?
And they love your games.
No, that's fair.
People love the Kevin Bacon game that you invented and came up with.
I came up with it myself.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I just have to play the games. You're the puppet master, even though I'm the host.
Yeah.
So I've got a game. I know you like it when I accidentally share facts about movies and movie making.
I do like that.
Yeah,
and you tend not to want to do that. And I want you to do more of it.
Yeah, no, and I resent it. I think people know this stuff.
They don't.
So this is the name of the game. I can't believe you didn't know that.
Oh.
So I'm going to say things about a movie, common knowledge, but like you should know, but maybe you won't know.
Right.
And if you do know it, you'll be like, oh, I knew that, Adam.
Right.
And then you win.
Okay.
But if you didn't know it, the audience learns something and I win a point.
Okay, great.
So you've talked about, you know, how they got to the end of Avengers to get to Endgame.
Yeah.
Chance, choice.
Uh-huh.
I've got a fact.
Oh, tell me a fact.
It was just in my head.
Did it just pop into your head?
These are all in my head whenever I play the game.
You're not researching these?
Never.
Okay.
Here's the fact. The only reason that Thanos and the Stones are this, you know, part of these Marvel movies and built up to this whole thing is just because Joss Whedon, at the end of the first Avengers, the writer-director of the first Avengers movie,
uh-huh.
He just tossed in this post-credits scene as a little Easter egg for the little nerds.
Just for fun.
Just a little like, ooh, I like the comics. Just for fun.
It wasn't related to anything.
Just like, you know, maybe they'll do some of this, maybe not. Bang him in there. If this film does well, great. You know, maybe something will come of this, maybe not. It's exactly number two. Did you know that or did you not know that?
I didn't know that. So that's the only reason. Hold it.
I held it.
No, you want to say it.
No, I won't.
That's the only reason that these two films we watched in the last couple of days exist, because Joss Whedon did something. He went rogue.
He didn't. I mean, he would have had to have got permission.
Fine, but it wasn't part of some big organized structure.
No.
Wow. Okay, go on. You can say it.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Number two.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Iron Man invented the first Marvel picture. I mean, in this series, not the first Marvel.
I knew that.
The end, the post, wait a sec.
Oh.
You know that that's the first one. That's not the fact.
Okay.
Okay.
You've got to be clear about what the fact is for me.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to take any scrap I can get.
Iron Man invented the little post credits stinger.
I knew that.
And the little post, no, not the fact.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. They just tossed in Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. Little fun, little joke. You know, this isn't going to... No one knows that Iron Man's going to do big business, right, or not.
So they weren't actually planning to make a film with Samuel L. Jackson. They just threw him in there for fun.
Maybe this guy will have... Who else would we want as Nick Fury?
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's not really a fact so much as a...
Well, that's a fact.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same as the other fact.
It's exactly the same.
But I didn't know it. I didn't know it.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Oh, that was a fun game. I can't wait until you say one I do know.
Okay, third one.
Oh, there's another one.
Rule of three.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle,
uh-huh,
your favourite of the Avengers.
I knew that.
Terrence Howard plays that character in the first Iron Man.
I knew that.
There we go.
I can't believe you thought I didn't know that.
It's a good game, isn't it?
It is a good game.
Right.
I think people will like you more now.
I don't know, really. I'm a natural glutton for lots of things. A glutton for punishment, I suppose, being one of them. It's amazing to me that I've been doing this job for over 20 years now.
Right, let me pick something from the bad list now, because we've done a lot of... There's been a lot of good so far.
It's been... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you making that face? It's been almost exclusively good.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You said you didn't care about these films.
No, you're right. It felt like there'd been a bit more egg from you, but I think you've been broadly positive.
Great. Okay. Gwyneth Paltrow. Peppa Pig.
End of point. Hey, say no more.
Okay. Appears to not want to be in the film.
I love how they, anytime it's cuts to Tony Stark and he's supposed to be with her, you're constantly thinking,
where is she?
Where is she? And what is her schedule?
Sure.
A day? They had her for a day.
Maybe they had her for a day.
If that.
I feel for her a little bit, though, because I don't know the circumstances. And maybe she was busy doing another film or making a new cream. You know, she could be doing any number of things.
She has people to make those creams.
Other people are making the creams.
Yeah.
Sure.
She just says the words...
Make this cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. And someone makes it.
And then Chris
Motherfingers
hurries to the bathroom.
Just like Thanos. Different kind of evil. Yeah. Okay.
Wow, that's satirical.
I know. Thank you. All I was going to say is, who knows the circumstances? I'm sure she was very busy. I feel some sympathy for her also, because if she didn't enjoy being in the films, which is, this is purely speculation on my part, by the way, based on what I see in the film, not really her performance, but where and how she appears in the film. I do think, God, do you think she thought 20 years ago when she made the first Iron Man film and she was, playing Peppa Pig. What's that?
Pepper Potts.
I like to call her Peppa Pig. When she was playing Peppa Pig in the first Iron Man film 20 years ago, did you think she really thought, this is actually me kind of signing up for 100 movies over the next 20 years and I have to keep coming back to do this over and over again? So I have some sympathy if that is the case.
I think they always keep begging. They've always gone back to beg her to be in them.
Really?
And she's said, Yeah, maybe I'll pop it. Like, she has she has a bigger role in Iron Man 3, for example. She gets to don the suit for the first time and kick some major ass.
Well, she shows up in the suit, in an Iron Man suit at the end. Iron Woman. Do they call her Iron Woman in the film?
No, that's Margaret Thatcher.
That's Margaret Thatcher. Well, she shows up in an Iron Man suit at the end of Avengers Endgame as well. She's fighting in the big battle.
And she would have said, I'll come back if I get to be in a suit.
Right.
And get to, like, laser beam an alien dog.
That's speculation.
Yeah.
That's what you believe.
I imagine. I said I imagine.
No, you didn't. You said, and she will have said.
She will have said.
Yeah.
Joe's constantly pointing out all the libelous things I say. For Christ's sake.
Anyway, Gwyneth is on the bad list. Here's another thing on the bad list, okay?
Also, the thing about Gwyneth is she always has her hair. There's one, her long, long, lovely hair. She's a beautiful woman. I love her as an actress. But in these movies, watch the movies and see her hair. She's got half of her hair on the side, goes over her shoulder, and the other half of her hair is tucked behind. Mm-hmm. And that long bit of hair is just resting on her chest and her...
It'll be pinned to the outfit.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just, in every single shot, that's how her hair is.
Yeah.
And it kind of just feels very affected and doesn't feel very Pepper Potts to me.
I think Tony's hair's always the same in every scene as well. Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's a bellend.
Let me think about the other character's hair.
Right.
ScarJo's hair is usually the same.
They do so much fun with ScarJo's hair.
Do they?
For example, at the where we meet her in Infinity War, she's got this lovely peroxide bob that is a takeover from Civil War.
Uh-huh.
And then in the 5 years that span
after
the snap, she's grown it out.
She's grown it out.
She's bit of red out. Yeah. It's longer, and she puts it in the plait at some point.
There's different colours in
she's
there.
She's interested in her hair.
Right.
Gwyneth Paltrow is not interested in the journey of the hair.
Yeah.
She's just going, no, this is my hair. I think it makes me look sexy.
Yeah. She said, Tony Stark has invented me a special science machine that keeps my hair identical in every scene, or I filmed everything on the same day.
Yeah, could be either.
It's possible.
Maybe the latter.
Who knows?
I don't think she said those things.
No, she didn't say it.
I just imagine.
You imagine.
I imagine
that's
the conversation.
Okay, well, here's something I imagine has made its way onto the bad list. Tony Stark solves time travel in one afternoon after saying it's not really possible. And also included in this is, you said this out loud, and I wrote it down as a little quote from dialogue from the movie, run the Mobius strip conundrum.
He says something of that effect.
Something of that effect.
Basically.
It's not exactly that.
And then
but that time travel solved.
Yeah, done it.
He said it wasn't possible one scene before, but then he just sat down with a beer, a brewski in the afternoon and resolved it, no problem. And then he walks into the living room and he says, hey, Peppa Pig.
He says, why can you not change your hair, please?
Yeah.
Please change your hair,
please. Otherwise, I'll have to go back in time with my new time machine to when you were a baby and didn't have any hair. So he solves it in here. I'm going to burn through three things, just three quick things on the bad list.
Three quick things.
One of them you've alluded to already. Captain Marvel is busy, because if she wasn't busy, the film wouldn't exist, okay? Because she's too good and too overpowered and could do anything and resolve anything at any time. But she's busy because there are, quote, other planets that need help too.
And she's also too smug looking.
Yeah, she does look very smug, yeah.
They've accidentally made a Captain Marvel movie, which didn't do very well, and they've created a character who has far too much power, and it wasn't very well received. And then they're like, we've got these big movies. People are going to keep saying, where's Captain Marvel? Oh, she just has to fly off somewhere. And obviously, Larson, I imagine that she said, I'm not going to be in this movies. I'm not going to be in this movies if you dust me.
Right.
You can't dust me. They're like, oh, fuck's sake. I don't know. Let's fly you off to another planet then, because it's a big galaxy.
Right.
And so they do that.
Because she's in it. She's barely in it when she's not dusted.
Yeah.
She might as well have been dusted.
But they can't have her in it because either she's looking smug and like she's better than everyone.
I mean, she is. If I had all of the powers of Captain Marvel, I'd be hella smug. You can trust me.
I quite liked her. She works really well in the Captain Marvel sequel, The Marvels,
right?
Because they introduced two other kind of Marvel characters, not Marvel characters, Captain Marvel characters.
Right.
There's a young one who's Miss Marvel, and her Miss Marvel.
Oh,
right. Don't get me sidetracked about Agatha Christie Marvel characters, because that'll be 50 minutes we've gone.
It will.
And then she's got a pal, Monica Rambeau. Anyway, I want to say something nice about Captain Marvel, because broadly in this movie she doesn't work. But in the Marvels, what they do, they've got these three Marvels.
Yes.
And for some kind of silly story reason, whenever they use their powers, they switch powers.
Right.
And it's a kind of a fun way to get over the fact that Captain Marvel can do whatever she wants. And it's a little story kink that kind of resolves the Captain Marvel problem.
It's a creative solution to a problem that was self-inflicted.
Yes.
By coming up with a superhero that's too overpowered.
And unfortunately, they would not have had time to do that in Endgame to do that.
Sure.
I mean, they do it with the Incredible Hulk. Because at the beginning of Infinity War, Hulk gets absolutely battered by Thanos, and then the joke is Hulk doesn't want to come out.
Yeah.
So then you're stuck with Ruffalo in Infinity War.
Sure.
Lovely.
Yeah.
That solves Hulk.
And I like Ruffalo. I want to look at Ruffalo.
You don't really, you know, the Hulk's fine, whatever. Yeah. But I
wouldn't watch the Hulk in a different film, but I'd watch Ruffalo in a different film. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is it's not Brie Larson's fault, particularly because she can be good as Captain Marvel if it's right, but she just doesn't...
She's wrong for this. Captain Marvel is wrong for this film.
Yeah, and she just plays it smug.
Yeah.
And then she disappears.
The character comes across as very smug every time the character is on screen.
I think she says hello to one of them. And she's all smirking and flying.
Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. She's like, who are you?
And you're like, hey, that's Spider-Man. Where have you been, you big loser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not Captain Marvel. You're rude.
Yeah. You're Captain Rude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How dare you? So anyway.
So this was supposed to be a quick buzz through.
Yeah, but it was an important caveat.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it was very... I know it was important, but I'm just wondering if there'll be important caveats on the next
cut. Oh, I mean, let's...
Now, remember, just for the rhythm, for the sake of the musicality of the podcast, this was the quick buzz three. So I'm going to do a buzz two now. I'm just saying, imagine I'd just said, Captain Marvel's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I'll do it.
Great.
What about that? I'll just do it. Okay, I'm gonna quickly buzz through three now. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
The first one, and these are all on the bad list, Adam. By the way, the first one is Captain Marvel's a bit busy, isn't she?
Isn't she?
Because they've made an overpowered superhero that could have resolved the whole film in 5 minutes. So instead, they send her away because there's other planets that are in need.
I've got loads to say about that.
Well, it's too bad because this is a quick fire round.
Buzz through.
Why are the Mets gone? The New York Mets, the sports team. Yeah. I know half of all living things are gone, but even if half were gone, they have reserves. They can still make a team, you know? There are still half of people. There are how many tens of millions of people living in New York? They all still want to go to the sports game.
No, you see...
5 years later, the Mets would be back. There's no way the Mets aren't back.
Here's the thing, Joe.
What thing?
I don't want to do a caveat, but...
This is the quick fire round.
The half people who got wiped out, they're the only people who remember how to play baseball. Everyone else who's left has no memory of how to play the game or has any interest in it.
Okay, important caveat. That one's accepted. Final one, quote, Pym particles. Pym particles.
Tell me, how do you spell Pym particles, Joe?
P-Y-M.
How did you think they were spelled?
P-I-M.
Yeah.
So I wrote down P-I-M particles. Now, Pym particles, for the uninitiated listener... little red particles that come in vials. They look a lot like liquid. Could call it Pym liquid or Pims, you know, for example.
Pym liquid, I think, is something else.
Pym
liquid. Hank Pims.
Stick some strawberries in there. They help you make a journey back through the quantum
zone
into the time, going through the time.
They help you go small. Pym particles help Ant-Man go small. If you have enough... You can go so small that you can enter the quantum zone.
And then you can go back in time.
This is why you need to do your homework.
Yeah, so you have to have the Pym particles in order to be able to make the trips. And the thing is, right, the Pym particles only really exist as a plot device in this film to make sure that the superheroes can't abuse the time machine and just keep using it over and over again, right? They are the reason that the superheroes are allowed to say in the dialogue, we only have enough Pym particles for one journey, one round trip. And if we run out, then we won't be any more. Until one of them realizes, oh, you can just go back in time and get more Pym particles. And then, you know, important to put the stones back in their own timeline, but you don't have to put the pin particles back because they don't count as changing anything. This is the thing, right? And this is the other thing.
That's the thing, is it?
No, but
no, it's a good thing. It's a good, bad thing.
You're going to love what I'm about to do.
Oh,
okay. Because that's the combination of bad individual elements that lead to one overall good thing.
Mm.
Okay. And here's the overall good thing. They made a time travel movie, but largely they just told the normal rules of time travel to fuck off. We're doing whatever we want. We'll make it make sense later. And it's going to be completely different to all the other time travel things. And we'll reference a bunch of movies in it because our characters exist in the world. They're like pop culture references. And so, you know, you get all the fun of, you get to hear the working as the film happens. But I like it. It's another example of them kind of just sticking two fingers up to the convention and saying, yeah, we're doing time travel, but we're doing it in our own way. The individual elements of that that make the story function, I think, are a little clunky here and there.
And creaky.
But mad respect for just saying, yeah, we'll just do whatever we want, you know. Great stuff, man.
Yeah, it's a little creaky sometimes, but it's got such vim and vigor and chutzpah, and there's enough little jokes, fun little one-liners. There's so much talent.
Yeah.
It kind of just pushes everything along. I saw this in the cinema and just with a big smile on my face.
Right.
Both just like, this is fun.
Thing. You and your smile.
Oh my God, they're doing time travel. And he's saying about Back to the Future. Yeah. And not just that, they mention Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
It's not just the good ones.
Yeah.
It's
Don Cheadle has a good bit where he lists a number of time movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's good for Cheadle.
I like that.
Well, that's wasted.
This
Cheadle is wasted.
This leads me on to another nice point on the good list. The film, and this is generally true of all the Marvel movies probably, but still very much so of Endgame and Infinity War. They do a very, very good job of balancing the tone between fun and serious. Here's a few examples. Ant-Man, when he gets turned into a baby and then comes back to a normal human person again when they're trying to work out time travel, he says, somebody shit my pants.
And then he says, I don't know if it was the baby or the old me.
Yeah.
Or it was me.
Noob Master. Here's a fun scene where Thor has been drinking for 5 years and he's playing video games. His flatmate is playing video games and a child online is being mean to his flatmate. So he grabs the microphone and shouts at the guy who's called Noob Master. That's a bit of fun. I liked that there. You know, there are numerous moments like this in the film that are all intersected between the more serious moments and the moments where the story has to move on. It's not just RDJ that gets all of his RJD, Robert Jowdy Dunier.
Robert Jowdy.
It's not just Robert Jowdy Dunier that gets the fun lines. All the characters get fun lines.
I don't like RJD's funny lines, if anything, or everyone else is funnier than him, and he's the one who's really trying to emote. The character and the actor who absolutely smashes the tone and nails it throughout the whole movie, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, he goes from comedic to heartbroken and sad so well.
But could you make an argument that, and again, this takes me to another thing on the good list.
Of course, okay? It does. Everything I say is going to weave into you because I'm playing 3D chess here.
Sure, yeah. It's like you've got your own PIM particles and you're remembering what we said yesterday. It's very impressive. Now, you just said Thor is great in the film, right?
I mean, no, Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth is great as Thor in the film. Lots of very, very, very funny stuff, okay? Is it possible to say that he does such a good job because he needs to pick up the mantle from Iron Man, who has been, in some of the other films, able to be a bit more of, not, he's always a central character, of course, but he's not always like absolutely central to, he's not always like the main hero. Whereas in Avengers Endgame, he is the sacrificial guy. He's the Jesus character. Like, he's the one who, at the end of the film, spoiler alert, he dies in order to save everybody else. And so the personal journey of RJD, Robert Jowdy Dunier, throughout the film is one of pathos, really. It's not really one of comedy. He's being funny, but his main thing is he contends with the notion that going back in time might erase his daughter, who was given birth to after Thanos had snapped his fingers, and he's contending with the sadness of all the feeling the responsibility for losing Spider-Man, who he saw as a kind of surrogate son in some ways.
And also having a wife who sometimes, due to scheduling reasons, may or may not be there.
Yeah, she's just not available for him.
Yeah,
he's doing it on his own. He's a single dad.
She'd love to be there, but she's busy.
She's busy. Yeah. She's making a cream, you know. Anyway, and then at the end of the film, he has to resolve his issues with Captain America, and he's got a strange relationship with Doctor Strange. He's the Jesus archetype in the film, and he's the one that sacrifices himself for everybody else. So in some ways, Chris Hemsworth is picking up the baton. He's saying, "Don't worry, guys. I'll do a lot of heavy lifting here for the fun stuff because Iron Man's busy being serious." And this is the thing that's on the good list. I think Robert Downey Jr. nails it. I think his acting performance in the film is actually really, really good. And I can imagine that might be annoying to be around, but he really knocks it out of the park, I think. And he gives the character and the film the seriousness that it deserves. He carries the meaning of the film for the people who are emotionally entangled. I wasn't particularly watching it, but I can imagine if I was a big Marvel fan and I'd watched all those films and they were part of my life as I was growing up watching them, he forgoes a bit of fun and a bit of a cynical comment here and there. He carries the emotional weight of the film and he does a really good job.
Yeah, well, he's begun it with Iron Man, however many bloody years earlier, and it ends with Iron Man. And then the big end line in Iron Man is he says, "I am Iron Man."
Yeah.
Did you know, he says at the end of Iron Man, "I am Iron Man"?
I did know that.
I really wanted us to do Iron Man on this podcast, but I'll take this.
Sure.
But I prefer him so much more in this movie to his other appearances because he's far too quippy, snarky.
Yeah.
And it's constant. It's a little bit, but here,
it's all about pathos.
He could go back in time, use some pin particles, change the dial on his performance in some of those earlier movies.
Dial it down, Robert.
Dial it, like, you're good, man.
Yeah.
You're good.
Sure.
But the reason why Chris Hemsworth can smash it with the comedy is, and I hate to say it, I hate to say his name because I despise him, but Taika Waititi did fair play to him with Thor Ragnarok. He found just the right amount of humor in the Thor character and turned the dial just the right amount. Well done there, Taika. You've nailed it.
Yeah.
And then one movie later with the worst of all the Marvel movies, Love and Thunder, he absolutely
turned it to 10.
Oh, 11, mate.
11.
Shit the bed.
Wow.
Stinker.
A long time ago, I was in Burma. My friends and I were working for the local government. They were trying to buy the loyalty of tribal leaders by bribing them with precious stones. But their caravans were being raided in a forest north of Rangoon by a bandit. So we went looking for the stones. But in 6 months, we never met anyone who traded with him. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing them away.
So why steal
it? Well, because he thought it was good sport, because some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Buzz through.
I'm going to buzz through.
Buzz through.
Here we go.
I won't say a word.
Okay.
I won't say a word.
The secretaries.
Oh, this is a good bit.
The secretaries of the Marvel team.
This is such a great observation, Joe. You should be so proud of yourself. I'm not joking.
The Avengers secretaries. Okay. Now, we all know who I'm talking about, don't we? Because there's genuine heroes. Like Thor, he's a god. And he's got a big hammer and lightning, yeah? There's Iron Man, who's a genius scientist who's got a big Iron Man suit and can, you know, although anyone can go in it, he's very good at being in it, isn't he? Yeah. You've got Hulk, who's a big, strong Hulk man who can do whatever he wants. And I know that there are various others.
Spider-Man. He can be a spider.
He's a spider.
He's, you know, he's nimble.
That's great. And then you've got Hawkeye, who's just a guy who's really good with a bow.
Not just really good.
And then a sword.
He's really good.
He's really, really good with a sword. And you've got ScarJo, who I think she's
good with notes.
She's good
with taking notes.
I think she's holding a notepad most of the film.
Yeah.
Most of the film. And the two of these together, do they have any powers? No. Are they cool? Sure, they're cool. Are they nice to be around? Yeah, everybody. It's important to have nice people to have around.
But who's taking the notes?
But who's taking the notes? It's not one of the people with the superpowers. It's not Hulk. He can't hold a pen. Yeah, it's ScarJo who's taking the notes.
Yeah, it's a point about women and the invisible work that they do. Her power is that she's a woman and that she's doing all this invisible work and no one gives her any heed to.
Right.
But also,
do you think that's what the film's saying?
No, I don't. I think that it's you've absolutely pulled the film's pants down.
Right. I love ScarJo. ScarJo's great, you know.
She's fantastic in these movies.
She's one of the best actors working out there, for sure. And she's very, very good in these films too. She's just not a superhero.
That's a different point. Like, nailing her.
So, therefore, Renner, she takes the notes.
No, because but it was a particular, like, Renner could take notes, but he doesn't.
He doesn't.
The fact that him, I like the fact that they've got in this world, there are people who are just very, very, very good shit hot killers and good at martial arts.
Yeah.
That's her. Black Widow, Hawkeye.
Uh-huh.
They're not magic.
No.
They can just get shit done.
Are they, because then I could be them?
No, because they're there because they're in the... They're there because they're in the comics.
Right.
Okay, not everything has to be cosmic and it's boring. Like, I want to see... The notion of these movies was always like, we can do a big cosmic, big mega battle with a thingy, or you can tell a nice little small story where there's like, maybe there's a bomb somewhere.
Yeah.
And that all kind of got lost, because right. It always ends up with there's a big...
Go bigger.
It's nice, though, to think that you've got guys who are just like a Bourne, Jason Bourne, who hangs out with Hulk. Imagine Jason, and you've got Jason Bourne.
No, you don't.
Oh, wait, you've got Jeremy Renner.
You've got Jeremy Renner.
Who's almost Bourne.
Yeah, but listen, if Matt Damon as Jason Bourne was in the Avengers movie...
Here we go. Hang on a sec.
I'd be looking at him in the lineup, and I'd be thinking, sure, he doesn't have any magic powers, right?
Yeah.
But he's much, much better than Renner, okay? He's way better than Hawkeye. Yeah.
Okay, no.
He's way better than the robot woman. He's better than some of the people with magical powers. Jason Bourne.
This is what, okay.
Where would you rank Jason Bourne?
In
the Avengers.
In the Avengers.
Yeah.
And he fits in, right?
He's better than Hulk.
Well,
he's higher than Hulk.
Hulk can...
He's more adaptable than Hulk.
Yeah, but he can crush. Hulk can crush. Okay.
Hulk can only crush.
Right, okay.
That's all Hulk can do. How does Hulk even make it this far?
Because Bruce Banner's super smart.
I know, and...
Because there's always some...
Those great fun as well.
There's always some science bullshit that he can kind of go... Meh, 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 meh,
yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
When they go to Iron Man in this film and say, hey, Iron Man, can you help us with science? He goes, no, guys, I'm busy. And then they go, oh, we'll just go to the other science guy there.
They go, I think I know a guy.
It's the guy we can saying does all the science stuff in the last 20 movies. Bourne's better than Hulk, IMO. Okay.
Okay, but also
Bourne's better than Hulkeye. He's better than Scarlet.
Hulkeye.
He's better than Red Eye. He's better than Blue Eye.
Okay, but also
he's better than Pink Eye.
Think about the quips. Has he got the humor?
You don't need the humor with Bourne.
A little bit.
Imagine Jason Bourne was there with Thor. Imagine the two of them were riding together with the little rabbit, you know, the raccoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. The three of them together, and Jason Bourne's just constantly forgetting things. He can't remember anything. He's deadly serious, you know.
And
he wants to know what happened in his past, and everyone's like, Jason, forget about the past, mate.
Yeah.
There's Thanos is here, you know. Everyone's lost somebody. He's like, who am I?
And the raccoon would be razzing him. He'd be like, ugh, him with them forgetting again.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey,
what, do you forget where you put your marbles, Jason? Huh? That sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Jason Bourne, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, final
thing. Just don't come for Bourne Legacy. It's a good movie.
No, it's fine. But Renner's Bourne Legacy. Renner is Bourne. Bourne adjacent is better than Hawkeye.
Oh, I imagine the Bourne adjacent.
If Renner was playing Bourne in the film, I think that's better than Hawkeye. Hawkeye just sucks, man. He just sucks. He's rubbish.
I
love Jeremy
Renner. Is so good. I don't think he sucks.
I love Renner too, but Hawkeye's rubbish, mate. He's I'm uninvested, normal person. I'm just telling you, Hawkeye's rubbish.
Do you accept in this world that it's fine or useful, storytelling-wise and character-wise, to have people who do not have superpowers?
Yes.
But are good at shit?
Yeah, but I just
yes
think...
Yes or what... no? Yes or no?
Yes, but I think...
No, yes or no?
Yes, but I
yes,
think...
No, yes or no?
Yes, but I...
No, yes or no? Just yes or no, and then there'll be a rebuttal, and then you can say but.
No.
Hey, do you want to play? Hey, it's me. I'm Kevin Bacon. Do you want to play with me?
In person, Kevin Bacon.
That's right. Ooh. KB in the room.
Sizzling.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'd love to.
All right, great. Well, listen, here's how it works, if listeners don't know already. I'm going to say the names of two actors to Adam, and Adam has to find a connection through films between these two actors. Now, Adam doesn't have to find the shortest possible route. Adam simply has to beat me.
Mm.
But the twist is, he doesn't know my route before he guesses. Okay? Now, today I've got two rather fun actors for you. One of them in the film Atonement. That's James McAvoy. The other is Joan Cusack.
Okay, great.
Quite fun.
Joan Cusack.
Yeah.
The perennial supporting actor
yeah.
of her generation.
That's correct, yeah.
McAvoy.
Mm-hmm.
This is, he's got so many doors I can go through.
Sure.
X-Men First Class.
That's a door.
That's a huge door.
Big door.
So many cast in that.
Who's in that, though? Fassbender.
Fassbender.
Fassbender and Joan Cusack, never the twain shall meet.
But then he's also in Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
You've got, what's his name? What's his chops? Oh, Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
I don't think he's been in a film with Peter Joan Cusack either.
Well, that's if I want to do it in two.
I think you do, don't you?
I always want to do it in two. That's the dream. So let's think about Cusack. Start with Cusack.
Joan Cusack.
Joan.
Yeah, not John. Joan Cusack.
But then, you know, if you've got Joan, you're going to get John.
Well, you do.
But
there are other connectors.
There are other connectors from Joan.
Yeah.
Joan. I'm thinking, of course, I'm thinking Gross Point Blank.
Mm-hmm.
But what else is do I know Joan from?
School of Rock.
Oh, well, I mean, you've just fed me that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Nom, 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 nom.
Eat it up.
Mm,
who's in that?
I'd forgotten that. Jack Black.
Yeah.
That's it.
Has he been in a film with James McAvoy? I don't remember him in either of the X-Men films.
So I've got to go quick. I've got to do it quick.
Are you a bit stumped?
No, I'm trying to find the quickest route.
Oh.
I can just do a long route.
Do it out loud, though. I want to hear what you're thinking. I want to hear. We've been playing chess a lot on our holiday together.
Oh, yeah.
And
Joe loves to get in the head.
You don't say it out loud, but you do a lot of bleep, blah, 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 like pointing at different parts of the board, but you're trying to work out. Because you're someone who, when you play chess, you really assess the game. And you think about all the possible different moves you could make as opposed to a normal person who would just move a thing.
Well, no, yeah, I play chess. That's how you play chess.
No, I play chess. You play 3D chess.
No, 3D chess is an actual thing.
Oh.
And we're not playing 3D chess.
Right.
Well, at the minute, I'm just like thinking, I mean, you've got Mini Driver in Gross Point Blank.
That's true.
And you've got Jeremy Piven and you've got Dan Aykroyd.
Right. Mini Driver is English, of course.
And so's James McAvoy.
He's Scottish, I think, isn't he?
He's English in Atonement.
Right.
He's always got a posh accent.
What I've done is I have dusted myself off. I've given you a great game, but I forgot to put the timer on again. And that's where we've gone wrong, isn't it?
No, okay. Oh, you said 2 minutes. Okay, let's say I've had my 2 minutes.
We have
been like talking out loud. And
that's true.
It's what you do when we're playing chess. I'm trying to think and you're going... Beep, boop, beep, boop. Adam, you're making noises. Oh, am I getting in your head? Am I getting...
This is going to be an edit point, I would say, because the game has been going on for some time. I want the listeners to... I want my cake and to eat it. I want the listeners to know that we've been doing this for some time.
Yeah.
And that we have taken a route which we're now rowing back on. What the route was is irrelevant. We're going to start again. You get the opportunity to refresh, clean the slates, yeah? Wipe the dock. But the listeners do know that we've been doing this for 15, 20 minutes, okay?
Yeah, it's been tough.
It's tough. It's been a toughy-wuffy.
I'm enjoying every minute.
That's really good.
Joan Cusack. We start with Joan Cusack.
Well, where else are you going to start?
You've got to start with Joan Cusack.
You could start with James McAvoy, I guess. But
well, I know now my way into McAvoy.
Okay, right. So Joan Cusack in what?
In what? The question, is it Gross Point Blank or is it School of Rock?
You knew your route.
Yeah, no, of course, right. It's Gross Point Blank.
It's Gross Point Blank.
It's John Cusack.
Into John Cusack, yeah.
So then we've got John Cusack.
Yeah.
Is in Cell with Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay, so that's two.
Much derided Stephen King thing.
Of course.
Okay. Samuel Jackson
yeah.
is in Glass with James McAvoy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
That's good. I was really fucking dying, man.
Because that's three.
That's three.
It took you a long time to get to.
Jesus H, man. Guys, that took me a long time. That took me a long time.
You were hoping at one point in the middle there to make it in six.
I was going to go via Nick Cage. Right. I was going to go via Timothy Cruz.
It's hard.
Those were dead end alleys.
They were dead end. Well, listen, let me tell you.
Well, they were cul-de-sacs and you'd have to grow around. And
much like the game of chess we played earlier, where you were on the ropes, you were dead in the water.
Absolutely.
And then
sunk.
Somehow, a little spark of life plopped out of your chest and you came back round and whipped the shit out of me.
The Split popped into my head.
Yeah.
McAvoy's in Split.
And
I'm thinking, hang on a sec, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis. Yeah. Not just that.
Listen, I've had enough of your work.
Sorry.
Listen, I don't want to hear any more about what happened.
I'm gloating. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're gloating after 20 minutes of failure. You haven't even beaten me. You've drawn with me.
Yeah, good. Cool. Well, tell me your route.
That's the best thing.
I want to hear the route. Done.
So I also started with Joan Cusack. Actually, do you know what I did?
You have to start with Joan Cusack.
Unusually, I kind of started at both ends and I worked my way into the middle. Okay. There is a McAvoy film that you didn't mention. You actually said the first time he went Scott was in Filth. But you'll remember the first time he went Scott was in The Last King of Scotland. With
Forrest Whitaker
playing Idi Amin. Now, Forrest Whitaker is in a not that great film called The Butler. Did you ever watch The Butler?
I didn't, but then Glenn Close?
No. You know who's in The Butler?
No, I mean, she's in The Butler. Oh, she's right. In The Butler, right.
But I'm not going through John...
No, of course you're not.
I'm going through John Cusack.
Yeah. John Cusack's in The Butler. He's in The Butler.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, man.
And he's then in Gross Point Blank with Joan Cusack.
Yeah,
and that's my three.
That's a great three.
Pretty good.
That's niche three, mate.
It was a niche three, yeah.
A nice niche.
But I only got there because I was thinking, what's Forrest Whitaker in? That's what I was thinking. What's Forrest Whitaker in? Well, congratulations on drawing with me, even if it did take you half an hour.